Okay, back in open session. We, this time, have a presentation, reports and initiative updates, and we'll get a presentation on the long-range plan renewal.
Okay, given the length of our time, I'll try to move through this presentation as quickly as possible. And board members, you've all had a copy of the draft plan now for about 3 weeks to look at. And so what I plan on doing over the next few minutes is just reviewing some bigger highlights. And the outcome that I'm hoping for is that you will have endorsement of the direction that we're heading, or suggesting that we're heading over the course of the next 5 years. We have not begun to build action plans because without your direction and affirmation that we're heading in the right direction, it would be sort of premature for us to begin to build any action plans. So, of course, this is the driver for us, our mission statement, which we've looked at in terms of priorities for the long-range plan. What are the things that will help us best achieve that which we believe is our mission and the belief statements that we have? So we began 5 years ago with a long-range plan that was a five-year plan. This is the final year of that five-year plan. And as you heard me say before, we believe we've reached that point where, while not all things have been completed, all things have been completed to the extent that we think now deepening is the work that is part of our next steps. 5 years ago, we built our plan around three goals. Those three goals were to improve student achievement, and we built that around several targets that included increasing our assessments, increasing the amount of data that we have on students so we could create better pictures of how they are doing and measure their growth. We looked at the quality of professional development we wanted to offer our teachers, to offer the best education and have the best chances to increase student achievement, and to look at the way we are hiring practice so that we're hiring the best quality teachers that we possibly can. We believe we've made good progress in that. All of our curriculum is aligned. All of it has been renewed. The resources that teachers have at their disposal have been enriched and increased, and we think that our professional development has been aligned with those goals. We've done the same with our finances by creating long-range planning processes and plans for our finances and for our facilities. It's been a little bit longer of a project, but our finances now are built around our educational priorities, and they're also built around that long-range view of how we want to see our district sustain itself over the course of the next many years. And then finally, our third goal is our engagement goal and community relations. And we've worked to build systems and processes that have allowed us to be more transparent. Board members have taken on new approaches in our finance meetings and in our board meetings by having them recorded. We've made many changes in terms of the information that our community has access to on our website. And we've engaged in multiple ways over the course of each year in inviting our community to participate with us. And I think that through outreach to those outside of us, whether it be through individuals participating in civic groups or through our intergovernmental agreements and the work that we're doing with our other partners, that we have demonstrated a commitment to our community. So we think that after these 5 years, it's provided us the foundation that we need to take the next step, which is a much larger step. It's both deepening and broadening the work that lies before us. And of course, we're now faced with myriad new challenges that we'll have to grapple with over the course of the next 5 years. So, we no longer have three goals. We now have six goals. And as we looked at all of the things that were important to us in this next development of a long-range plan, we felt that some things needed to have their own goal. So human resources, which had been a part of our student achievement goal, is really now a human capital goal. And we know, and you know as well, that our human resource is our greatest resource. It is one in which we spend the most money, and the resource that has the most impact on increasing student learning, are the people who not only stand before our children, but who work throughout the system on behalf of children. So that goal has been pulled out and become one of its own. Our technology goal, which was originally a part of the finance and facilities goal, has been pulled out and become a goal unto itself. We believe that as we look to connect students globally, as we look to expand our walls beyond the walls we have, that technology is going to be one of the key ingredients to doing that. And so technology in the new plan is a priority over the course of the next 5 years in terms of helping us achieve our student learning outcomes. So that became a goal on its own. We really see our finance and facility goal as one that is about deepening and expanding the resources, the tools that we use to judge how we're doing financially, and as well as create a sustainable model. That's something that, you know, we've talked about over and over again, that it's critical that we are able to sustain ourselves financially over a long period of time. Facilities, as you know, is something that we continue to have conversations about, and the thrust of our conversations have been about creating learning environments that meet the demands of 21st century learning. And so that has shifted a good deal from what our conversations were maybe more specifically 5 years ago around our facilities. We've broken our communication goal into two goals as well, and see them as substantively different. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But the idea of building your relationships as well as building ambassadorship, and seeing ambassadorship as something a little bit different than the engagement and the outreach to others. One thing about the new plan that is a little different than, well, it looks very different. As you've had a chance to look at the new plan, our new plan looks totally different than our previous plan. And it's built around the expectations and commitments we expect the entire organization to make. And as you've seen in the plan, we talked about what the organization will do in order to meet its commitments and what can be expected of the organization. We've indicated what you can expect of leaders in the organization to fulfill the plan, and then what individually people can be expected to participate and contribute in achieving the plan. And that is a very much a different look to what we've done previously. The learner characteristics, which were created in 2007 and have been a part of, you know, Lori mentioned a little earlier, they're a part of all of our new teacher orientation work. They're a part of the curriculum development. We believe that the learner characteristics in this new renewal are the driver for the plan, and that the learner characteristics are not just for our students, but they are qualities and attitudes and skills that we would expect all of our employees to have as well. And so the learner characteristics really form sort of an umbrella, but really the guiding principles around which we will see ourselves as a learning organization. And these are the goals, and you have the written goal in your packets, so I didn't put all of the language around the goal, but here are the six goals, basically. You see the 21st century appears in the heading of several of the goals, and that is, again, another driver and another reminder to us that as we enter the second decade of the 21st century, we really must begin to look at what that means for learning and what that means for preparing students to be in the workplace, in the workforce, as they leave us and go into high school and to careers beyond that. So what's the impact of the renewal of the long-range plan? What are the things that we see as high-priority areas? Some of which I've already mentioned, but I think this explicit expectations is something that we expect and are hoping that members of our learning communities within our schools are going to find beneficial, because it's very clear as to what we expect all of us to do as we work within the organization. And that the drivers, as I said earlier, to that are the learner characteristics, 21st century learning, and working in a collaborative environment or a professional learning community. This area of strengthening student efficacy in their goal setting, we've made great progress with teachers doing goal setting with their students. What we haven't made the leap to yet, and it's going to be very important, is students taking greater ownership in their own learning and own goal setting. And we think 21st century learning tools will help us in that way, but we also look at it from the standpoint of the learner characteristics are not all characteristics that can be quantifiably measured. And so how do you measure intrinsic motivation? How do you measure curiosity? There are some aspects of the learner characteristics that we think students should self-assess. And certainly teachers are able to assess it in general in their classrooms. And probably as we look at the work habits rubric that is currently on the report card, that many of the learner characteristics will be embedded into those work habits. But that there are some things that students should make decisions about themselves regarding their own ownership for their learning, and some of those learner characteristics will probably be part of what their goal setting would be. Hiring for diversity and 21st century skills. When we talk about our workforce, you've heard us talk before that we want to make sure that our employees have the characteristics that are representative of our student demographics. But we also want to hire for diversity in terms of the strengths that people bring in their skill sets as well. So that 21st century skills, part of what we'll be talking about as we build the action plan, are the new literacies that are being talked about in the 21st century skill development. So do we hire for those different literacies? We just had a conversation about that. The things we look at as we're hiring new teachers will change slightly because we'll expect that new skills will be brought to our own workforce that people bring from outside. Focusing on the whole child and the adult and the overall wellness of the organization, that not only focuses on physical wellness and the health of the organization from a standpoint of operation, but really the whole child and the social-emotional learning that is so important and that we are assuring that as we press hard on the rigor of our academics, that we're also pressing hard on helping to build strong, healthy children who are well-balanced in their lives. High-quality professional development. We have made huge gains over the past 5 years in terms of really building strong professional development that has built learning communities, has deepened our teachers' understanding of their practice, has expanded to include all of our employee groups in meaningful learning, and we know that that is something that we have to continue to do, continue to deepen that work and find ways in which teachers take ownership for their learning, all of our staff members take ownership for their learning, as well as our students. Global classroom experiences goes back to that use of technology, breaking down the walls, what's that going to look like over the course of the next 5 years. 21st century model facilities, that's the work that we've begun to engage in, and hopefully over the next 5 years we'll be able to bring a plan to fruition, a well-developed plan that even if something doesn't happen in the next 5 years, the board has created a plan that future boards can use as a document to guide them in their decision making. Financial models, and we think this area of continued outreach in partnerships, in conversations, the whole idea, just to use a specific example of the bullying task force and how outreach to the whole community to engage in a conversation about how we treat one another and how we're going to protect the children in our community and speak a common language is a perfect example of where you might reach out more further to your community than we've done in the past and build those partnerships. So, what might this all look like as we put together an action plan? And as I said, we haven't begun to build that action plan. This work previous to now has been a collaborative effort not only of the administrative team but the continuous improving team, which has been with this process since the very beginning. And we started to look at our current plan last spring and determine which areas of the plan we were ready to move away from, which areas of the plan we wanted to deepen, and what were the new ideas and wanted to begin to embrace. And focus groups were held at each of our buildings, as well as a community focus group and a PTA focus group to help define the big picture items that were important for us. So it's now in the hands of the board and the administration to determine whether this is the right plan and how to move forward with action plans, which will then report back to CIT in the spring. So we need to look at operationally defining 21st century learning outcomes, and we believe that that's work that CIT and LLT can do together so that the learner outcomes can be operationalized, and we can look at the P21 framework to see within the literacies. P21 is for 21st century learning skills, which we've been using that as a
21st century.
And I think Karen may have shown me the P21 framework earlier in one of her presentations.
Probably it's just been jogging my.
Well, you'll learn more about it as we move forward, because we'll be talking about that framework. This is huge work. The Common Core, realigning, reaffirming, rethinking our curriculum from the Common Core and what the impact of that will be, and creating evidence of the learner characteristics in all our curricula areas, not just the Common Core, but in all curricula. This authentic integration of curricula areas, as we look at the Common Core, we look at everything that's on our plate in terms of the expectations for learning for students, one of the things we know that has to occur is a greater and a more authentic integration of all content areas. And so that work is important to next steps work. So we built a really strong foundation from a curriculum instruction standpoint. Now we have to look at taking that very strong foundation and finding ways in which we integrate the learning so that it's a little bit more, you know, not just doing literacy now, I'm not just doing math now, I'm not just doing social science now, but in fact we're working around the big ideas, more conceptual learning that the Common Core has provided for us. And then this is a big next step, is finding new and other assessments, or developing new and other assessments that can help us get at some of the higher order thinking that's present in the learner characteristics, some of the pieces that don't just naturally come out of an achievement examination, but we have to find ways of assessing our students and how they demonstrate problem solving, creative thinking, those kinds of things. Further action is professional development that is based on learner characteristics, restructuring some of our practices, building our organizational wellness plan. This operational infrastructure, this whole piece is related to the facilities piece, but even in the absence of moving forward with a facilities plan, we have to look at all of our classrooms and say, what does a 21st century classroom look like? If we can't do anything to our facilities, we still have to make changes in our classrooms. And that may be through things as simple as furniture changes, where we put things on the walls, what kinds of technology we buy, but that too has to be a part of our conversation. And then continuing with the five-year planning process, and as you know, one of the things we're interested in doing with that is finding a way to building a model that would allow us to do cost-benefit analyses, which is much more difficult in education because the qualities surrounding learning and how you determine whether or not something has really enriched or added to the learning is more complex. But that is one of the goals that we hope we can achieve. So, very quickly, that's an overview of where we're headed. I will tell you that I thought the first five-year plan was ambitious. This one is significantly more ambitious. And because what's different here, we've made some huge culture shifts in the district in the past 5 years, I think. But this represents huge paradigm shifts. So not only will we have to keep growing and supporting the culture for learning that we've started, we have to shift the paradigm of how education is delivered. And so this plan really, realistically, probably extends beyond 5 years. But the first 5 years will allow us to get started in shifting that paradigm. So, I talked quickly and covered a lot of ground. Any questions that you might have?
So what's our next step?
I think your next step is to say, is to tell us that this is the right plan. And you can do that in one of two ways. You can take the plan and take action on it in a formal way to say you have adopted the long-range plan. Or you can affirm the plan for us and say you are headed in the right direction. Go do your action plans.
So is there a retreat or what was that done up front before I came on? Or is there...
Well, the board has presented this. I mean, as Ann said, there were focus groups, and then CIT met, and with other groups within the district.
Yeah, I'm asking about the board, though.
We
provided updates through that process to the board for here's where the work is right now, here's the kinds of things that are occurring, here are the focus areas. I provided that information to you in Thursday letters, that sort of...
I mean, at this point, I don't think we're going to go through this sentence by sentence. Is that what you want to do? Or, I mean, in general?
No, I mean, there are some things in here that are interesting, like the ability to read, write, and speak fluently in English and one other language, by including the main grade. For me, I love it. You know, I don't know if we've had a discussion as a board about that.
On funding it?
Huh?
On funding it?
Well, I mean, there's...
Has it been a requirement to take a foreign language before?
Huh?
It hasn't been a requirement to take foreign language before, and it looks like we'd have to head that way.
And that, you would see that more in the action plan that we would build. Probably not in the two-year plan. It might be something that, you know, is examined and studied for how you might introduce language earlier in our district so that by the time year six rolls around.
You know, and are they needs and wants, or is it create an environment that a student that has that goal can provide the opportunity to do it versus mandating every student do it?
I guess the one thing that's not clear to me is when I see the word goal, I start looking for how do I know when we've achieved it. And so when I look, maybe these aren't typical goals. Maybe I'm missing a definition. Because some of these, you know, are, you know, they're good. But I'm thinking, how do I know I got there? And then that leads me back to the one we just finished. If we go back to that one, could we see what did we achieve, what did we accomplish? I mean, how, you know, you said you're expanding it. Well, how well did we do on the last?
Well, we've been doing that in CIT through scorecard.
Well, and I've given you an update every year on the long-range plan in terms of how we've achieved on our targets. And the three goal areas that we've set metrics around have been MAP and IFAT, our financial five-year plan, and our community engagement process. Now, our community engagement process, we have only one metric that we've been able to use, and that's our homegrown survey, which we only implemented for the first time last year, because when we did the Harris survey, then we didn't follow it. So we, you know.
And the board made a decision to not allow funding to move forward on that. So
that's fine. But yeah. So,
but I'm saying that there we made some decisions that some of these goals had to be recast.
And we judged the metric for some of the action plans, say in the engagement or the involvement, have been based on the steps we've taken to engage people in the community. And what the outcomes of that have been are products that come to the board and recommend in form of recommendations.
So it sounds like the action plans or where the metrics
that's correct.
Are defined.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I guess two things. John's question, you know, what's our role? I think goes back to a conversation we had, you know, over a year ago, right before you were appointed to come back on the board. And it was, what's the board's role in the long-range plan? As you said, need to vet this ourselves and then ask ourselves the question as a board with our work, is this moving in the right direction? If we're at the 20,000 foot level, balcony level is, you know, we've described, does this align, number one, to what we've seen over the last 2, 3, 4 years? And then is this moving forward at the pace that the board has been discussing? So
that's what's hard, and that's what's been hard for me the past 2 years is, you know, whenever proposals are brought forward, it says, oh, this aligns with this and this and this. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to see, like, a date, a number, a metric.
Some of this is quantifiable, like our MAP assessments, and now we're in that second full year. And, I mean, those are quantifiable. qualitative, quantifiable rather, but some are qualitative. And you're right, I think those are harder ones to see the, you know, the number that matches up. But I think I want, personally as a board member, to make to understand that we're on the same page in terms of our role with this. We were given this 3 weeks ago. Yeah. So I part of our work was to go through this and give in feedback. Whether we did that or not is up to us. Did we do that? So number one, she needed to see prior to tonight, did this make sense? Because if you got feedback from any of us that said, I'm confused, this doesn't line up, I think we're way off base here, then I would hope we would have heard that in the presentation, but we didn't.
Correct. And I think to go back to your question a little bit, the long-range plan is really a roadmap for us. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps if the language of goals is, you know, we have a semantic difference there, we can certainly call them something else, guiding mm-hmm. principles.
Well, as long as I understand your definition, I guess.
And not all the goals would have metrics to say, did we accomplish the goal? Because many of the goals never end. They simply get reframed. We are always going to say student achievement, student learning is something that guides our work and that we want to see continuously improve. The finances and facilities that serve our students, we want to see always well utilized and able to provide good learning environment. And we will always be focused on relationships. And so those three areas are really the areas around which other things are built. And then the action plans, you know, do have accountability attached to them, but the metrics might not always be tied to a student achievement score.
No, and I'm not saying that, but like when you talk about the facilities meeting the need, how do you know that we're doing that? Because I want to make sure, you know, if that's a goal, that we're supporting. Mm-hmm.
But I think what happens is, if, you know, as what's happened over the past 3 years with the other plan, or 5 years, or however many years it was, as action plans are developed, it talks about how it contributes. And maybe your point is, it'd be nice to see that we have measures of success and that those are reported on as we go along, which mm-hmm. Erica is saying in some areas they can be because it's simple, and in other areas, you know, it's not that hard. So diversity could be an easy one to make sure that we report on a regular basis.
That's on our scorecard.
Yeah, there are a lot of things we do.
Right. Mm-hmm. I guess where I'm going with this is, so you guys refresh my memory, but can you put your first slide back up that you had? I think when I look at that slide, I'm just really testing.
I know.
I really didn't want to see it.
Which is the first slide? You mean the mission?
Yeah, our initial one, right?
That one?
No, the one before. The one that had the three finance facilities. So, yeah, our three goals there, right? Learning, finances, and stakeholder relation. We were all, at least 5 years ago, we were all involved in saying, in defining those, right? In saying those were the, well, you guys weren't here. This was 500 years ago.
I was hired. Huh? The summer I was hired.
Right. So we all got involved and said, you know, where we are as an organization now, we really need to focus on our finances, our learning, and our stakeholder relation. That drove a lot of these action plans around going out to the schools to, that's for some of our board meetings, taping, for, you know, stakeholder relation, finances, learning, curriculum, blah, 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 right? So where I'm just stepping into this, not having been with you guys until July or August, is I felt when we got together and had that conversation around the goals and that was useful for us, so we were all on the same page on where we were headed. So I just personally feel a little disconnect from these goals. I'm not saying they're bad. I mean, I have tons of feedback on them, but they may not, they're not feedback directionally that's wrong. It's a question of, do we feel as a board that we need to have some sort of retreat and you know, mm-hmm. meeting or whatever, and talk about these and maybe help with some priorities, right? I mean, to Ann's point, this is a huge plan, right? And maybe we should have a little prioritization discussion based on where we think we are now. And yeah, so I guess that's what I'm offering up, that we should.
Well, I guess my thought about this, knowing what we were walking into tonight, was if there that you were seeking from us, is there any huge disconnect from us in any of these six goals that at this point we would say to you, time out? If that's not the case, then you moving to the next step with our support in terms of the action plan is where I think the prioritization starts to unfold. Because as you build that action plan, like our school improvement plans, as they've become more discreet over the years, those priorities start to bubble up.
What we probably would do next, and John, I want to respond to what you said, because I think it's really important. Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple things you said that are significant for the whole board as well as for our next steps. When we have the green light, we would start to look at 5 years and work our way backwards. And as we've done in the past, we wouldn't build more than a two-year action plan. Right. Because it's impossible to know. Right. You have to make sure you can get through the first 2 years and see how far you get and then know what you're doing. So during that phase of this work, I think it is really important that the board come together and talk about their priorities and the priorities you would give to us. Because they're a little different. You know, some of the things that John just mentioned were things the board did in setting their goals around that first long-range plan. I still think there are things the board needs to do to have conversations about its work relative to this direction. And then there's work that the administration needs to do in order to move the system. We need you to provide us the supportive leadership that says, go make the plan, go do this work, and then we need to work with you on that development, but then you have a whole nother set of work to do that says, okay, based on these priorities, how do we demonstrate leadership and vision for the district in order to have those things occur?
Yeah, this isn't just the board's long-range plan, it's the district.
It's the district.
And a large part of our bargaining with GEA in the contract was the fact that the long-range plan drove a lot of the things that were going to be done, and that it was a collaborative process in coming up with a new long-range plan, and that's the process we've been doing the last year.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Dan, I remember sitting down and going through and prioritizing, and if I remember correctly, we all felt very overwhelmed because we felt like we were on this rudderless ship for a while, that we were trying to get back on track, and that the long-range plan, which when Ann was hired, was one of the things that we wanted, we needed. We wanted, and to me that just rolls right into our community involvement engagement, and that we do have plans, that these decisions that are made are on a plan, are on a continuum, and that we can articulate that to our community, that this is how we do business. Mm-hmm. And so I remember we had to narrow it down, because I remember conversations were just all over the board about what our priorities. So I welcome sitting down and having a workshop and really getting into the heart of this plan. And going through this, though, you sent it to us a couple weeks ago with a worksheet, and you know, to kind of help frame our thoughts. And as I sat down and I was going through it, it kind of dawned on me that the majority of these things are things that we've been talking about, but really hadn't put, you know, I don't want to say comments, but you know, as part of conversations that we've had over time that were priorities to us, things that were important. For example, you know, even just the technology, you know, the student assessment data, easily accessible, those are things that have been talked about for a while, or the variety of technology, and as you know, we talked about tonight in finance, the smart boards and how we're doing that. And I read it and say that's just part of a plan. I mean, the hiring practices we have been talking about, and while I know Lori has made significant efforts to do the minority candidates, bilingual candidates, male teachers, I mean, those kinds of things that we're looking for, she's been doing that, and it's part of our plan and our discussion. And, you know, heaven knows the ability to read, write, and speak fluently in English and other language by eighth grade. I mean, I just
might have to come off the plan.
It might have to. No, it's in the plan, John. We heard it. We got it on paper. But I mean, I feel like these are conversations that we've had, and it's just more a compilation of that. And it actually, it's so much more user-friendly this way than that graph and chart.
Well, you know, this plan is about deepening our work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It isn't about changing course.
Right.
And I think that's significant, because if we're going to talk about building a sustainable culture, then, you know, we shouldn't be shifting the course. We should be deepening while raising the bar. And some of the things that we talked about in the first plan couldn't possibly have done right away. The time now is better to do that. And we're now inspired and engaged differently because the conversation around 21st century learning has changed. You know, we weren't there 5 years ago in that conversation particularly.
Well, the 21st century learning comment, John, I mean, everything that we have done for the last 2 years has been talking about 21st century learning, whether it's, you know, the physical condition of our classroom and what those classrooms and buildings are made of, to the actual learning and the common core and the conversation. I mean, it's just part of our everyday language. So I would expect to see nothing but 21st century throughout this entire document. And, while I understand what you're saying, John, in terms of feeling like we weren't necessarily part of the initial framework of it, and that, you know, in the first plan we came up with those three priorities and let's go from there, I feel like our conversations are embedded in here because it is the compilation of all these conversations and the deepening. And I do not feel that we are changing course. We are by far not changing course. We are, you know, not floating aimlessly, but I think it's taken us a long time to get to this place, and I don't think people realize what a difficult journey at times it has been, and that we have people now who are so excited about heading in this direction.
So I guess, based on your comment that the last time we got together, this was so overwhelming, we, you know, helped narrow it down. To Ann's point, this is even five times what that was. So to me, it does merit a conversation around the board who's responsible for vision to really sit down and have a conversation around this, and that would be my recommendation as the next step.
And the one thing I...
The board approves the vision that everyone came up with.
I don't think John anybody's saying that we shouldn't sit down and have the conversation.
I'm not talking about our mission statement.
But John, I don't think... I mean, I'm certainly not saying that we should not have a continued conversation about what is in this. At all.
I'm just saying we were talking about action plans and next steps.
Right. So we need to be a part of it, and I agree.
It's the district's long range plan. It's not the board's long range plan.
Right. Mm-hmm. But what John is saying is we are a part. I mean,
right. And we're a part of it right now. I mean, mm-hmm. We have input and other things, but it's not, you know, just our plan that we should have sat down and come up with it and then said, everyone look at this.
That's not what we did last time either. Yeah. We set some high-level parameters, had a discussion around priorities, and then and the team went back and put this together, and we got updates on it over the course of the year.
Yeah, I think what I saw in this as well, and made comments to Ann about this, is there are some really important board opportunities embedded in here that we've not seen before, and now that we can take advantage of in terms of board direction and board goal setting specifically. So that's, to me, one of the takeaways that I think is important for us to articulate and act on.
And because we want deeper ownership of this plan in the system, which is one of the reasons for its design, that includes the board,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of
we have to be
deep ownership for the plan as well. So we welcome that conversation. I would never have imagined that that's not going to occur. The difference between 5 years ago, I think, and now is, one, you have the same superintendent. So the establishing work that was done 5 years ago is just continuing, unless there are a new set of priorities that we missed as we were developing this. And that may come out as a result of the conversation. So, I mean, we could talk about whether it's a Saturday meeting where we all come together and dig in around this, or whether it's just another Monday night meeting that we plan, you know, 4 hours to start digging in. I would ask this evening that based on what you've heard and what you've read and the dialogue we've had today, whether or not you would give us direction to begin framing our next steps. It's going to take us till the end of the year to build our action plan. I mean, this is, there's a lot in here to build an action plan around. Mm-hmm. So we would, our next step would be to start doing the big framing work.
Yeah, and I think that will help organize it for us as well.
From a procedural standpoint, mm-hmm. is it more preferable to have it approved, or give you an indication to come back with the applicant? Which is more?
We're saying start working on the action plan.
We've never asked you to take formal action on the plan. We have, I think, worked with the belief of trust that we share the plan and we share the priorities in the plan. So I don't feel the need for a formal approval of the plan from a procedural standpoint. I think we need affirmation that the direction is still correct and that we should proceed and bring back to you whatever it is you'd like for us to bring back to you as the next steps.
I mean, this is all really good stuff. I agree. This is tremendously ambitious. Mm-hmm.
And maybe too ambitious for 5 years, and maybe a 10-year plan.
But if you can pull this off, I think that would be fantastic.
Karen's
getting
nauseous when you get there.
Well, I guess I wouldn't want us creating a 10-year plan because we don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. So
this is a five-year plan. Part
of the discussion is, you know, what's real within mm-hmm. 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's part of the discussion that I certainly would like to have.
And we had time when we, but it was built pretty authentically, I think, in terms of taking the data that we had collected from the focus groups, which had consistent themes, working in table groups with CIT. I think there's one difference between this plan and the previous plan. CIT owns this plan as much as we do. And wants to be involved in it as it unfolds. And so I think that's a huge step in terms of taking it more widely into the system and having it become a part of everybody's life. Mm-hmm.
So, John, I was just going to say to your point, if you feel, I don't know if the word is disenfranchised, that you weren't part of this, I mean, you can blame me as from CIT as not maybe giving detailed updates or trying to get feedback in there, but I guess I feel, presenting in this form, I don't feel there's a big issue. We still have input at the board. If we do have a workshop, though, I would say I don't want to just sit down and go through everyone and just say, well, what does everyone think of this? If you have specific things that you have concerns, you need to write them down ahead of time and say what your opinion is. It's not a what does everyone think. Here's my thoughts, and Anne can put those together, and we can form an agenda for a meeting.
Yeah, and Steve, I'm not blaming you for your.
And board. I'm not asking for blame, but I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just answering your question. I'm not, right? I mean,
but that was the process. I guess if people feel that way, it's maybe I could have, as the representative to the board, as part of CIT, to, you know, inform what was going on. Although Anne, you know, did talk about the process.
The big themes that
right.
were coming
yeah.
out of the data.
We always knew we were going to get this version of it and that there was still work to be
yeah.
done. It wasn't.
I don't know if you, I mean, you guys are taking this a little defensively or wrong or whatever. It's just a not disenfranchised from the board or not being a part of the process. It's that this is an important mm-hmm. step. I think Anne has said she would want to have a conversation with us around it. That's what this is about. I don't know that I will write things down.
Well,
maybe I'll send them smoke signals in the sky and
sure.
hopefully they're there when I come to the meeting.
Is that a language?
But,
I think the next step, it maybe by putting some context to this, if we could create a framework, the next piece of the work being the framework around mm-hmm. Next step, the actions, the big actions that have to occur, and a, somewhat of a timeline around that, where the priorities emerge out of this, that might be helpful in terms of reacting and having the board's conversation. Because you may then say, I think you've got to move this up much more quickly, or this is going to take you a lot longer than 2 years to accomplish, and you know, that sort of thing, which would give you something to respond to, as opposed to what this is really just our collective work between CIT and the cabinet and administration looking at what we see as the next steps in moving our district along.
Yeah, and is the goal of including in teacher evaluations student achievement data inherent in some of these goals? It's not black and white on the page to me, but I could read that into some of these goals, but I don't want to read into it.
Well, obviously as we move forward, we have to find a way of building the law and the expectations of the law and the work we
right.
do. What we would hope is that we are able to, over the course of the next 5 years, create an expanded and deeper picture of how students are learning in our system. And in the absence of that, it will be very difficult to build a model where performance is used to judge a teacher or any staff member, because not all of our staff members touch children directly. So that's embedded here. The bigger picture guided by the learner characteristics is definitely a part of this plan. The action plan, as it gets detailed, will certainly reflect those things which are part of the law. One of the work on the Common Core right now is tracking and following what the organization called PARC, and that's an acronym, is doing to build the new state assessment. Well, Karen's, watching that continuously as she's working with the math and literacy team to embed the Common Core into our current curriculum. So there'll be legal, there'll be implications to that in the actual plan and how we transition and how we implement. But this is the more global piece. So yes, to answer your question, I guess it's a lengthy way, but it's not directly in there because that's going to require a lot of different kind of work. Not to mention negotiations.
And the other, you had it on a slide, but it wasn't in the document, and that was just the language in Goal 6 of sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
My only recommendation was to shoehorn that word in there. Under the, it's touched on in a lot of the other bullet points,
mm-hmm.
but just to call that out.
In the actual goal statement?
Right. Well, not necessarily in the goal statement, but under that organizational structure, practices, and expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about the cost benefit and the value added, as well as developing a long-range capital plan. But I guess what I'm looking at, is an overall model of sustainability on our financial side.
Are you talking about sustainability environmentally or
financially? No,
financially.
Okay, so any other comments? From a board standpoint, I guess, can we get a thumbs up to tell?
That'd be wonderful.
Thumbs up to what you've done so far, obviously, but mm-hmm. to go ahead and start on the action plan. At the same time, Ann will ask for detailed feedback, and we'll get that together and decide the best way to go about getting the board input into this, be it if it's enough that we can handle it at a board meeting or whether we need to schedule a retreat to mm-hmm. to go through it all. So anyone have problems with that or thumbs up?
No, I think it's great work and really sets us again in a very clarifying direction.
This would be a great team retreat. I mean, we'd have new board members be able to bring them on, but I think we do need time to talk about this plan together.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So you've got get it in before May 5th.
For April 5th.
April. Well, no.
We'll have much of this done by May.
I drive by my house.
Don't worry. Okay. Thank you for all that. Now we move on to action items. We have the consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Okay, hearing and seeing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, which includes the Human Resources Personnel Report with employment recommendations, resignations, internal transfers, the reemployment or release of non-tenured personnel, the resolution authorizing notice of dismissal to non-tenured teachers other than final year for probationary teachers, and also the resolution authorizing notice of dismissal to non-tenured teachers in final year of probation. Consent agenda also includes a finance, facilities, and operations treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue expenditure summary report, the summary of bills and payroll, school district payment order, vandalism damage report, disposal of surplus property, the 2010-11 FOIA report, and then finally we have the March 7th, 2011 regular meeting board minutes, and the March 14th, 2011 special meeting and closed session minutes, and the case board meeting action items.
Motion.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mrs. Melson?
Yes.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Solek?
Yes.
Mr. Bondrick?
Yes. Okay, next up we have superintendent's recommendations. So at its March 7, 2011 meeting, the board discussed administration's recommendation to approve the bid from Valor Technologies, Inc. in the amount of $10,945 for lead abatement on Benjamin Franklin Historical Entrance. This work will be included in the 2011 Summer Capital Projects work and the 2011-12 fiscal year budget. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Solek?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Vondra?
Yes. Okay, second we have the Abraham Lincoln stage replacement. So again, at its March 7th, 2011 meeting, the board discussed the administration's recommendation to approve the proposal for E.T. Paddock Industries, Inc. in the amount of $20,950 for construction of a new stage in the multipurpose room of Abraham Lincoln School. This work will be completed during spring 2011 and has been included in the 2010-11 fiscal year budget. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I know we talked about this before, but I don't see them here. But you said there are going to be mats attached.
Worried about those mats.
Bob's worried, you know, when he's going in for, when he gets fouled, going in for a hard layup.
Dan's nice.
He's not like hitting his shoulder. He wants the patty. Okay, now that we got that cleared up, roll call, please.
Mr. Kenwood.
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson.
Yes.
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 Smith?
Yes.
Mr.
Vondra? Yes. Okay, superintendent's report.
I have nothing to report tonight. I think you've heard enough from me.
Motion.
The one thing I noticed, I talked to Julie that the enrollment reports were not, the 2011 enrollment reports weren't all on the website that we had seen the last few months. So
yeah.
Now they're up because we've gone through those. So in case anyone was looking for those, but. Okay, and board reports. Are there any members of the board who wish to give a report?
I do. I was at the first ever for me PTA Executive Council this morning, and it was quite interesting after almost 2 years of just going to the local PTA meetings. They had a presentation there on the role of the PTA. That was Lady, what's the district?
District 36.
36 PTA. And it was interesting because they were talking about a discussion on appropriate spending in terms of capital, field trips, etc. What do you usually PTAs should, guidelines for spending it on? There's legal ones, but then there's also other ones as well. And also talked a little bit about, you know, ensuring that whatever money, portion of your money you raise that year, trying to spend it in the same year as well, so it benefits those people that contribute. And I also talked about it, I guess, when in the works is on April 26th, showing at Hadley of the Race to Nowhere. It will be an event.
What was the date on that? Sorry.
April 26th. I know the contract is not signed, so okay. Be on the lookout for a confirmation of that. I believe 7 to 8:30.
What's that?
This is the movie, the documentary.
This is the response to Superman.
No, it's a movie that's been created about students who are overstressed and burned out.
Oh, right,
and teachers are burned out because of the significant impact on academic rigor and achievement. And
Illinois state standards are stressing.
It's a national movie. It's more of a national look rather than a state look.
So right now they're looking at it would be $10 for tickets in advance, $15 at the door. And that's because of the nature of this movie. It's like, you know, like when you watch a video, you're not supposed to show it for they want to get their royalties. But also a portion of the proceeds would go towards a benefit that the PTA would designate. They were talking about some scholarships. And then it was closed out with a long discussion on executive committee function.
So it's not, is it a smoke-filled back room?
No. I was the only one drinking coffee.
I have a quick update. The Ben Franklin PTA meeting. I don't have anything written. It was only a 30-minute meeting because it was right before the candidate forum that night, and so there are two pieces to it. They always do a really nice job at Ben Franklin of highlighting their ambassador program, and the kids always do a report out, and just some really, I think, great work around student connecting some of the learner characteristics and social-emotional pieces, and so they do a nice job of connecting those, and the kids did a nice job of reporting out. And then much of the meeting, the other focused part was their nominating committee, like all the other PTAs, and that they have a full slate, and some, Margaret was saying, new faces on the board, which is important so that they get some new leadership. And I know the Churchill talked about that as well, wanting to grow some younger parents and keep them in some leadership positions. And then that night we had a candidate forum, I thought nicely attended, actually I think better attended than even the League of Women Voters yesterday. So it was nice to see people stay. We had teachers in the room, which was nice. Julie was there, Ann was there, and then some local community members also, so I think that was well attended. The other thing I have is this coming Friday, we have Lend, and I've been trying to get to those. I'm going to be out of town for work on Friday morning, so I think Ann's going to go, but I don't know if there was a board member that could go. It's from 7 to 8:15.
What's the
Lend meeting over at Case, District 89. And then as a part of that, I'll go to discussion items for that. So that's it.
I was at CIT last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think we pretty much worked on scorecard most of the time. And so it was a good meeting. So we're working on those things.
Focused on goals 2 and 3.
Yeah, on goals 2 and 3.
Financial and human resource goal and then the engagement goal.
Mm-hmm. I attended the League of Women Voters forum, and I think our two current members did well, and the two new candidates running for the Warrior seats. So
who won? What was the poll?
They were all winners.
Yes. The district is the real winner.
Yes. Just vote.
That was the message.
There was all in the Park District and the District 87 were all good forums. Julie and I were there, along with Erica, and I think Dan was there too for a little while. So, but that's all I have.
I did for a little while as well.
Oh,
we hung around for
Eric and John.
Park District one for a while.
Any fireworks?
Not related.
For
nothing.
District 41?
No.
Okay. So next up are discussion items. So do you have something?
Very briefly. I know that everybody gets this alliance report that comes out, and there were how many questions, John, Dan, Steve? Five about consolidation of the League of Women Voters. And so I just, you know, this last one that came out on March 18th, just a couple days ago, talked about the fact that the issue of school consolidation is still very much alive in the Capitol. School board members and administrators need to continue their dialogue with legislators on this issue, reinforcing opposition to immediate forced consolidation of school district. There is a proposal by Senator Garrett to also do some other work around consolidation, and that's in the Office of the Regional Superintendent of Schools, so I would encourage people to look at that. but that the Alliance has taken the position that they'll oppose any proposal on consolidation that does not include administrators and board members as part of the task force, and any that does not include legislation with the approval of local voters. So I bring that up because I just want us to think as a board, and maybe we can give some feedback to Steve about this, on a response. I know that I made a call into Representative Reed's office when that was coming to committee in my opposition to that forced consolidation without consult of local boards. We talk a lot about local control. I think this is an important issue for us to have some be able to weigh in on. So I would ask just that we think about that, not for discussion tonight, but to have you think about that and maybe give some feedback to Steve.
Sure. Okay. So next up, are any other discussion? So continuing on, upcoming meetings, April 4th, 2011, we have a regular meeting at Forest Glen School. And then on the, so John, there will be a Forest Glen on the.
Well, someone needs to update the
okay.
calendar tonight.
On April 11th, we have a special meeting with the MFP discussion, again here at Central Services. And then on the 18th, we have a regular board meeting at Central Services. And then, so, are there any other matters to be considered before the board?
Well, nice shot to the those of us who saw the play this weekend at Happy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely outstanding. Amazing. Really well done.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Public participation. Are there any members of the public who wish to address the board here at the end of the meeting? Seeing no members of the public. May I have a motion to adjourn the regular meeting? We have no need to go to closed session tonight.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you.